T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at it on the John Chuckwish Show. Hanging out with you on this Monday evening. About to watch a little WWE Raw. We mentioned tomorrow night we're scheduled to have Guy Evans join us. Wrote a very interesting and very insightful book about the history of WCW called Nitro. About the Nitro program out there that used to compete against Monday Night Raw. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Leave us a comment about what we had to say. We're talking about Matt Ryan in the last segment. A lot of folks were chiming in on that. It always does. When you start talking about Matt and his legacy, it definitely inspires people to want to leave their comments about it. Don't forget, we ask you to download the Radio.com app because, well, let's face it. I mean, that's the way you listen to the radio station when you're not in your vehicle. We know you're not spending as much time there, so make sure that you listen to us through the Radio.com app. Download that on your device. You've got a phone, you got a speaker, you got a tablet, a boombox, a turntable, a Coleco, a Swatch watch. You got something that you can download it onto, so do that. You got a Sports Illustrated clock radio. I don't care. Whatever you got, just download it there. 92.9 The Game is also helping you stay connected with past shows, interviews, and all the content you need. For more info, go to radio.com/stay connected. As always, the station's social media, it's all at 92.9 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us to be a part of the show, as always. Personal Twitter handle, at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that's out there. He is back in Midtown producing the show at Jarvis D90. So one of the things that has been discussed as sports, as professional sports get back at it. Now, of course, this doesn't really apply to NASCAR, you know, because you got cars going 180 miles an hour around a track and the roar of the engines and things like that is. But the dynamic with the fans, and, you know, it's kind of funny because I'm watching WWE Raw here, and there's no question. And now one of the things that Raw has done is sort of taken a page out of what AEW was doing. By what they're doing on Raw is taking some of their underling talent, like their NXT talent, and putting it out there to give some crowd effect. And AEW has used their talent around the outside barriers to give some atmosphere, because pro wrestling without fans is rough. I'm not going to lie to you. And you're talking to a 40 plus year veteran of watching this and breaking it down. And you know, 1984 was my first live wrestling, and I was watching it before then. So WWE and AEW without crowds is a different environment. Now think about when we get to NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, NFL, what that dynamic is going to be like. And how do you make up for the lack of no fans? Well, DeSean Jackson talked about this idea of what to do with no fans, and he agrees with the idea of miking fans up. On Lane Johnson's Outside the Lane podcast, Jackson talked about, first of all, it's going to be a culture shock if teams have to play in empty stadiums, but does believe that there should be mic'd up players. Quote, I think they should mic up players. They should give fans the insight to see what really goes on between the white lines. It gets crazy, bro. I know in the trenches it gets crazy, and I know on the outside it gets crazy, too, the conversations we go back and forth on. Okay? He continues to say that If there's no fans, they'll adjust, he says. But at the end of the day, we're professionals. I think we'll adapt to it. It'll definitely be weird at first, but hopefully they can figure out an alternative, because I definitely think a lot of teams and players feed off of the energy. And I agree with him that, especially me personally in the NBA, I think it would be fascinating to have players mic'd up with the trash talking and everything else that we hear goes on during the NBA. Now, one guy who says it may be a little bit difficult in trying to get that dynamic is Alex Mack, center for the Atlanta Falcons. Here's what he told Vaughn McClure in talking about the idea of playing with no fans and possibly miking guys up.
I'd be concerned with people hearing my calls. I don't want that recorded and let the opposing team the next week hear everything we say, because then every week we've got to change every, you know, code word, term, line call we've ever used. And that to me is annoying, so I don't want to do that. But I like the idea of finding new ways to entertain people and add the second level of sports viewing.
Now let me ask you a question. Sorry, Alex, I didn't mean to cut you off there. Let me ask you a question, though. Are you telling me that teams already don't know the code words and terminology that these guys use? Are you telling me that because it's not over a microphone that guys don't know it? Are you telling me that Luke Kuechly doesn't know the codes and the buzzwords and the catchphrases or whatever? Are you telling me that the Bear's not loose? Iron doesn't sharpen iron. We're all gas, no brakes. Are you telling me they don't know? See, I don't buy Alec Mack's position there. I think guys already know. Guys hear and guys know and things like that. Maybe not intimately about everything, but I think guys already know and understand what the different calls are. Especially when you're talking about teams in your division that you play twice a year every year. Right? I mean, I love the idea of doing this. Now, here's the other thing that you have to do. And I don't know the dynamic, because we're talking about not so much the ESPN part of it, you know, or cable, but on broadcast television, on NBC, on Fox, on CBS, on ABC, the dynamic of not filtering these guys. Are you willing to let F-bombs and things like that go over the airways? Now, cable, it's not a big deal. We get that now. If you watch the Michael Jordan documentary, you didn't have to worry about the F-bomb being bleeped out. Now, they did have a clean version, but I'm saying the regular broadcast was no stranger to the F-bombs. Would they allow that on, and not because guys are intentionally trying to drop as many F-bombs as they can, but just will they really keep it unfiltered? Or, you know, would they have to bleep some stuff out? Now, here on radio, we have something called a dump button, okay? And that's why there's a, Jarvis, is it a 7-second delay from when I speak to when people hear me through their radio or radio.com, or, well, not radio.com, online isn't filtered, but like through their car radio. It's like a 7-second delay, right? Am I correct on that? Yes. So a 7-second delay. So when I speak, Jarvis has the ability to not so much bleep me out, but dump what they call in the industry, not in the wrestling podcast world, but in the radio world, dump what I had to say, so that if you're in your car, you don't hear it. So if I say, you know, mother flubber and all this kind of stuff, Jarvis can dump that, and you don't get it, all right? Now, online, if you're listening online through radio.com or on the website, you will hear it. Because it isn't going to get dumped or filtered out or anything like that. So I don't know how that works in TV. My understanding, Jarvis, am I right on this? There's like a 20-second delay in TV or somewhere around that length of time. It's longer than radio, but I don't remember exactly. So I don't know how that would work, if they could do any kind of dump or any sort of thing like that. But I would hope not. And again, this applies more to the broadcast TV, the network TV, the NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, the network part of it. Cable, you don't have to worry about. They'll get away with it on cable. But would they allow them to put all that on regular? because it's fascinating. And I think that the I think truthfully, the one that could capitalize on it the most is the NBA. You know, all the stories we hear about, all the trash talking and everything that goes with it in the NBA sets itself up. Now, I don't know if guys would filter themselves, you know, would guy, but you would think that, though, when guys get in the heat of battle, they forget that the microphones are on or this, that, and the other. Isn't it always fascinating when they do the NFL films thing and you see the guys on the sideline, right? You go back and watch the videos. You know, Lawrence Taylor's over there. Let's play like a bunch of crazed animals or whatever he's that he says famously says, you know, in that one video clip. To me, that would even make it more fascinating. And truthfully, as a viewer on TV, which let's face it, more people are at home watching the telecast than they would be in the stands, even if they open up. Even at full capacity, the Mercedes-Benz is, what, 70, 75,000 full capacity? Well, certainly there's a bigger audience that's watching it on TV anyway to start with. So to me, that it would be a fascinating dynamic as long as they let the players go unfiltered and they let them be themselves. And let them be themselves for it. Because what would be fascinating is, how do you also do like the touchdown celebrations? You're not going to do the Lambeau leap. You're not going to have a crowd to feed off of. You're not throwing a football up in the stands or anything like that. So would guys create some unique celebration dances, right? Something unique that they do. Look at the camera and do something unique to kind of get things going for the crowd and stuff like that. Now, I don't want it to necessarily be a complete wrestling promo, okay? Doesn't need to be something like that, but it would be pretty cool to see. And I think this is something where because I don't know how much trash talking you do in Major League Baseball, other than, you know, you call for the ball in the air, you know, if it's a you know, pop up, you know, in the infield, who's going to call off who. But in the NBA, oh, imagine playoff basketball with guys with boom mics picking up trash talking from these guys. Now, I'm not saying you got to do coaches and things like that. Leave the coaches and leave the strategy out. You know, and they do, but it is funny because they do play the coaches, you know, after the fact, right? They play little snippets of Greg Popovich after the timeout of, hey, we got to rebound better, and we got to come over here and block this guy, and this, that, and the other. So they do play some of that now with the coaches. But you probably don't want to get too deep into the coaches because, well, one is there'll probably be plenty of off-color language for all of that. But second of all is there is something about strategy and things like that. You don't want guys giving away to the other side about what we picked up on those, what are those things that they have, the tablet things that they can see what the defense is doing or this, that, and the other, how they're adjusting. But, boy, you know, the same way that they have, you know how they have the camera on the NFL field that the XFL invented that swings across and stuff like that, right? The overhead camera thing. Imagine if you had, like, a boom mic that was attached to it. Or imagine if you had some, like, boom mics over top of the court coming down from, I don't know, the scoreboard or something like that to pick up some of the audio. Oh, it'd be fascinating. Be fascinating. And I think, you know, listen, hopefully these leagues will get creative with what they need to do, because you want to try to capture the imagination. And I think even some of it is capturing the imagination of the casual fan. The hardcore guy will be there. Hardcore sports fans, men, women, and children will be there because we're starved for sports and we want it. But how do I get more casual fans to want to be in my product? Which, you know, for the NFL, you know, they don't seem to have that big of an issue with fantasy football and everything else that goes along with it. You know, they obviously get a lot of casual fans. But to me, the NBA is the league that could really benefit from something like this. You just got to let these guys go unfiltered, which may be tough to do for the broadcast networks. All right, when we get back, Dukes and Bell had Jason Longshore on. We mentioned MLS at the very start is still trying to negotiate and navigate their way through what is going to be a season. We'll hear from Jason Longshore, color analyst for Atlanta United, coming up next. It is the John Chuckery Show with you on a Monday evening. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and on the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Monday evening, 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to leave us a comment there on social media, at 929 The Game for the station, at JMCH316 for me, at JarvisD90 for him. Well, MLS, they can't seem to try to get organized on a more definitive start date themselves. Color analyst for all things Atlanta United, Jason Longshore, he joined Dukes and Bell a little bit earlier today to talk about this. And the guy started off by asking him, where do we stand on the MLS and negotiations?
Well, we thought we were really close to coming back. Felt pretty good late last week that we'd have some good news today, maybe later this week, but very soon. Last night, news broke that the league had told the ownership, or told the players' union, sorry, that it's basically a take-it-or-leave-it deal, and if it's not approved by Tuesday, that it would be a lockout situation.
Oh.
Now, today, just a little bit ago, from the Columbus Dispatch in Ohio, they have updated that MLS is sending a counter-proposal to the players who had sent a counter-proposal in over the weekend. It feels like some heavy negotiating tactics. It's not good. It's a bad look. People are getting riled up. There's things they have to sort out financially. There's things they have to sort out logistically. I'm hoping we still get an announcement, but the back and forth is getting pretty strong at the moment.
So more than rhetoric. I mean, this is, I mean, what if you put it in odds, like a 50-50, where do you think we're going?
Well, I think we'll be back. I mean, the most important thing, and player agent Richard Moskin told Paul Tenorio of The Athletic earlier today that, look, nobody benefits from not having MLS this season. MLS is in a position where it's growing. There's a big opportunity for the league if they're able to come back and do it safely. They don't benefit from not playing outside of not losing maybe quite as much money. They're going to lose money this season. I think any team, any sport that's coming back, if you're playing behind closed doors and you're adding all of the additional costs for testing, that's going to run in the millions of dollars. There's no way around it. You're going to lose money this season. There's a very good chance of that. With MLS, Jeff Birding in Cincinnati said that 90% of the revenues for a team is tied to match day. You don't have fans in the stands, that's a big chunk of your revenue. So you've got to find a way forward. The players don't benefit from not having a season either. You know, think of a player like an Ezequiel Barco who is trying to prepare for a move to Europe, and the European transfer market's going to be hit by this as well, but there are still teams that will have money to spend, and Ezequiel Barco, for his career, wants to play in one of the biggest teams in the world. He doesn't gain in that process by not playing this season. Nobody wins if they can't sort this out. I really hope that just frustrations are raw right now. They've gone back and forth. It sounds like the issues are manageable, but they've got to get in a Zoom room right now and get it knocked out.
Jason Longshore, our guest analyst for Atlanta United. With that said, I don't think I've asked you this. Do you like this plan in Orlando? Do you think this is what we need as far as how to get back? And what else have you heard? Were there other alternatives to this plan, or has it always been one location and then we'll go from there?
I think it's always been Orlando, because when the plan was starting to come together, you couldn't count on playing games in markets anywhere in the beginning of July. Now, that's starting to change, and it's changed very fast while this plan is moving. But just like the NWSL, the National Women's Soccer League, who is playing in Utah and playing a tournament in Utah, they're doing that because of the cost efficiency of doing it that way, because one of the team owners, Delroy Hansen, who owns Real Salt Lake as well, has the facilities, is putting money up to bring teams there. It makes sense for them to do it. Again, this is the reality of sports in 2020. There's going to be a lot of money lost. So when you get down to the nuts and bolts of how can you do things efficiently, you're looking at bottom lines. And is Orlando a situation where it is more cost effective to do it on top of when you started creating the plan, it was the only alternative? Those things kind of seem to line up. I do think it is a short-term option to get the season restarted. And the idea is to be back in markets. And as we're hearing, you know, there's the potential for at least reduced crowds, maybe in the fall.
Right. Jason Longshore with us, guys. You hear him along with Mike Conte on our championship Atlanta United from a year back. And these guys, Jason's dialed in. He knows what he's doing. And one thing I just want to remind listeners, you brought this up a few days ago. We didn't get the deal done necessarily, right? I mean, they agreed to start the season without a new CBA.
Right. They had an agreement in principle. They were working out some of the finer points, but they were in a good position to go forward. Well, then you have a global pandemic hit, and that kind of puts everything into, you know, pause, but then also into a different perspective. And one of the issues that has come up, and I know it's been part of the NBA discussions as well, is a clause called a force majeure clause. It's basically like an act of God clause in a contract for, you know, to get out of the contract, essentially. Now, there's some back and forth on what MLS is wanting tied to that. There's been a report that if five teams have a drop of 25% in attendance, so that would automatically trigger a force majeure clause. But when you go back and look, there's been a very small number of teams in MLS history, less than double digits from what I can tell, that have had a 25% drop in attendance year to year. It hasn't happened in the last 2 years. There's only been three, four teams in the last 2 years that have had a double-digit drop in attendance. So that feels like a small issue here. I think all of the issues, whether it's the pay cut, whether it is the revenue sharing on a media rights deal, it feels like these are things that can get negotiated. The bluster right now is not going to help get that done, and hopefully both sides can resolve this.
It is our man, Jason Longshore, guys. Normally you get a chance to hear him once or twice a week on our radio station doing games with our man Mike Conte, but right now they're trying to get to an agreement so that we can get back to that. All right, so let's talk about our team briefly here and where we are with you know, knowing what we know about our team. It's kind of weird because we got off to that start last time we were partying in Nashville, and then all of a sudden this thing happens. How good do you feel about the makeup of our team for a knockout tournament like this in Orlando, and then obviously moving forward with the season?
I feel like when you have a manager like Frank DeBoer, who will have, you know, about a month's time is what they're talking about in terms of training to prepare, that's going to help him a lot in figuring out what this team looks like without Joseph Martinez. You know, we were going to be doing that on the fly in the regular season early on, but now you're going to get a break, and now you're going to get almost like a short preseason to start working through that. Is it Adam John? You know, is it an alternative? Is it Pitty Martinez up top? What does it look like? You know, that's a big question mark, but I think beyond that stage, everybody else is healthy. You have a very strong roster with, as we've seen early in the season, a lot of players who can step up when called upon. In a short-term tournament, having depth like that is going to be very important because you're going to play, you know, two, three games in a week. You're going to need to dig a little bit deeper into that roster to get some key minutes. I think Atlanta has a roster that can handle it.
Jason Longshore, guys, with our best soccer coverage in town. Follow him at Longshoe, and you can ask him questions about United and MLS and everything else that happens in soccer on the planet. We were talking to J.J. Williams last week. What a great kid, by the way. Great personality, great energy. We know that we've got you know, some new elements on this team because, again, we've got some height we didn't have last year. We've got some younger faces. And, again, you said it. We're going to have to lean on that depth without having one of the best players, you know, in the league and Joseph Martinez out there. But you still like us to continue the trajectory we saw in the small sample size?
Yeah, I do, because I like J.J. Williams' addition as well. It gives you a different element than Adam John. Those are two guys who could pair up if you need to play two up top, but you can use different lineups in different games. And I think without Joseph, Frank DeBoer is going to have to be a little creative in figuring out how to solve the problems of goal scoring. I loved where Pitty Martinez was early in the season. I thought he was looking very, very sharp in CONCACAF play and in early MLS play. You hope that he can continue that. You hope that this hasn't disrupted the rhythm. He can get that back. Ezequiel Barco mentioned him earlier. He's got a lot to prove. This is a big year for him, not because he's had a bad career here in Atlanta, but because he wants to make that next step. He's at that point in his career. He wants to play with a big club. He's got to show it on a regular basis and stay healthy. And there's a lot of guys who have a lot to prove this season, and that usually can create some really strong performances for a team.
Jason, we appreciate you as always, man, for jumping on and giving us the lowdown. We hope this thing gets worked out sooner than later, right? That's where we're at right now.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I mean, I hope, and looking at all the issues, I think they are all manageable, but you hope this doesn't get toxic like it appears some other negotiations in sports are getting right now. Major League Baseball, I think, is a prime example. You've got to work together like these two have for so long, so well. Got to get back to that and knock this out.
You think the agents, I know we got to go, but real quick, in about 30 seconds, the agents and the players do get it. I mean, I understand it's, you know, ownership versus players, but the MLS is in a great spot. The growth is there. The expansion franchise, you got a chance to really shine the way NASCAR has with nothing else going on. You can be the show if you get things going.
Yeah, 100%. I think the players get that. I think the agents get that. I think the owners get that. They all see the opportunity, and now it's just finding the numbers that make sense for everybody, because it's not what it was when they negotiated the CBA. So they've got to find a way to move forward together, most importantly.
Jason, take care. Be safe, okay?
Appreciate it, guys. You too.
Out, so we will play that at 9:40 for you. Also, tomorrow night, too, I want to remind you, we're going to have Guy Evans on. He wrote a great book that I just finished up the Audible version of. We're going to talk about Audible, by the way, too. I'm really enjoying Audible. I'm finally maybe in the 21st century about listening to books and stuff, but we'll talk about that in That's Life tonight. But I just finished up the Audible version of a book called Nitro, which is the history of the TV show Nitro, obviously the WCW Monday Night program that revolutionized wrestling with all the different things that went on over the years with it. And I think people forget, they started in 95, and I think people forget, we obviously remember, the pay-per-view Bash at the Beach and then the NWO doing their thing on Monday nights and stuff like that. But remember, they shocked the world on the very first episode of WCW Nitro, because if you remember, they did the show from the Mall of America up there in Minneapolis, and on the first ever WCW Nitro, Lex Luger shows up, who literally, just even a week or so before that, or 2 weeks before that, had been on WWE Raw. He was a WWE performer and kind of signed a contract. He wasn't under contract somehow with the WWE. I don't know if he's operating on a nightly deal or whatever, but he wasn't under contract with the WWE. They talk about the negotiations on this in the book about it and how he ends up showing up. But on night number one, because remember, Hogan was already there in the WCW, but on night number one, Lex Luger shows up just completely unexpected. And they pulled a few tricks over the years. People forget Rick Rude actually appeared on WWE Raw and WCW Nitro on the same exact night. He was on both shows. The Monday night after the Montreal Screwjob in 97, that very next night, it was a pre-recorded Raw that he was part of, but he was live on WCW Nitro. So they pulled a few things on Nitro, and Eric would give the results of, and Tony Schiavone famously gives the result of Mankind winning the title in January of 99, which is that's one of the greatest Raws of all time, if you just watch that whole show. So we'll talk to Guy Evans coming up tomorrow. Should be a lot of fun. If you're an Atlantan and you've been around and remember, just think about how long WCW programming was on in Atlanta television. I think it was 29 years. I think is what it ended up being. I think it was 29 years worth of television for the WCW. Jim Crockett Promotions, the NWA, remember the 605 on WTBS on Saturday nights, Tony Schiavone in studio. And I think that was filmed at the Cobb Civic Center, right? Right there, in Marietta, off the Marietta Loop at the Cobb Civic Center. I believe that was filmed there on, I want to say it was like on Tuesday nights or something like that, Tuesday or Thursday nights or something like that they filmed all of that. So should be a lot of fun. We've been enjoying getting some of these different personalities and people on within the wrestling world. But it's a terrific book. I very much encourage anybody that if you are, a fan from the 90s wrestling and WCW and Nitro and all the things that went on, lots of great stories. And he talks to all of the insiders. Like, he doesn't just talk to a couple of people. He talks to a lot of behind-the-scenes people, from creative to finance to the executives at TNT and things like that. So you really get a behind the scenes look at all the things that went on WCW, and what a just, at times chaotic mess it was. When you work for a corporation, You know, I mean, sometimes you get that when you work for a corporation. You know, it's chaos trying to get things done. There's an old saying that the definition of a elephant, that's a horse designed by a committee. So we'll talk to Guy Evans coming up tomorrow night about his Nitro book. All right, it's that time of the night. Speaking of talking about things, let's get to What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So, I don't know if the Alanis Morissette ironic song applies to the first part of this or not. Anybody catch the tweets by the NFL about their, you know, ending racism and things like that? And anybody also catch the Chicago Blackhawks talking about ending racism? Is that irony? Is that an Alanis Morissette song? Is that ironic? Especially the Blackhawks. Okay. I mean, listen, everybody had their statements. Everybody wants to be on the right side of everything, so they had to put their statements out about everything. Just thought that those two particular entities, the NFL and their stance, and the Chicago Blackhawks and their stance, were rather interesting out of all of it. So anyway, this guy Dave Portnoy, who I guess is he the creator of Barstool Sports? Is he like the founder of Barstool Sports? He's the founder, Jarvis? Okay, so the guy, there was an auction recently, a charity auction, where you could go watch a Monday night football game with the commissioner of the NFL. All right? So there was a charity auction that you bid on, right? That you could win this, okay? So this guy, and by the way, is Barstool that popular that he's making this much cash? He donated $250,000 on this thing. Where are these guys getting this kind of money? Jarvis, what are we not doing right? Christ, we're over here listening to famine and hunger and you know, and cancer and all this kind of stuff. This guy's bidding $250,000 on a Monday night football game with Commissioner Roger Goodell. Now, is Barstool's that popular, making that kind of money? Man, we got to come up with a better gimmick. We got to come up with some kind of better gimmick than what we're doing. Good Lord. So the NFL, though, said that because he, I guess, failed the background check. It said the background check noted Portnoy's multiple encounters with NFL security and the 2011 incident in which he posted a nude photo of Tom Brady's then 2-year-old son, Arn Barstool. Said the league also pointed to his arrest in 2015 for trespassing at the NFL's Park Avenue during the Deflategate scandal. Now, here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing. This is all a PR ploy, because Portnoy had to know that he was going to lose $250,000. Now, they said that the NFL said they're going to take the money, which they should. They should take the money. They're going to donate it to first responders and stuff, and then they're going to bring a first responder or a group of them in to be a part of this. So, good. But there's no way that this guy had to think that he was going to win this auction and actually get a chance to talk to, like, his number one nemesis in the world, Roger Goodell. Or did he really think that Roger Goodell and the NFL would allow him to go hang out with the commish for a game? I mean, even he couldn't have been that stupid, right? Even he couldn't have been that foolish to think that something like that was going to happen. Now, first off, God bless him, because he had to have known, which means he knew he was going to give up $250,000 for this. Even if he was going to get it, he was still giving up $250,000. But he had to know that he was just going to basically donate $250,000, which I'm sure is probably a write-off for the company. I'm guessing, you know, that they'll do some kind of, write-off on their taxes and this, that, and the other, and it's a corporate expense or something like that. But this thing is like the most ridiculous story going around, that this guy was bidding on this, thinking that this would happen, and thinking that the NFL would actually allow him a platform to get in front of the commissioner. Now, I haven't seen a follow-up comment from Portnoy as to whether or not he has said something about, hey, you know, I knew that this was going to happen. This is my way of donating. Because he couldn't have known that they were going to take the money and give it to first responders. There's no way he could have known that. He could have known that they weren't going to allow him to be a part of all this, and maybe said, no, your bid's not acceptable or whatever like that. That he had to know. But he couldn't have known that the quarter million was going to be kept and given away to somebody. So I've not seen if he's had a follow-up comment about the fact that he donated $250,000 to the NFL that's going to give it to first responders. But certainly he couldn't have been this foolish to think that this was going to actually happen, right? I guess, God bless him, he just got $250,000 worth of free advertising, which I guess must pay off for Barstool, because if he's got $250,000 to just chuck away on something like this, and I'll say it again, I keep saying it, Jarvis, hot take he sells, man. Right? Because aren't they the kings of hot take? Aren't they like the kings of all hot take Barstool sports and all that? They're supposed to be about guys and their talk. I mean, aren't they the king of hot takiness? I mean, they make Tommy Mott look like a single layer. They make him look like he's playing in rookie ball compared to what hot take he is. But hot take he sells. And obviously it sells a hell of a lot if a guy's got $250,000 to just toss away. To just say, yep, here we go. Free pub, free advertising, free my name is mentioned with the commissioner, and every stupid platform on Twitter and social media will pick it up and run with it. Because he could not have thought for one second that the NFL would allow him or honor him or recognize him for coming down and meeting with the commissioner. I mean, honestly, there's a better chance that Colin Kaepernick could have a meeting and a Monday night deal with the commissioner than this guy from Barstool Sports. Because this guy would cause nothing but trouble. And if you think $250,000 donated to this, if he'd have been allowed to go and be a part of this, you think that was something, imagine the PR nonsense he would have pulled being with the commissioner at an NFL game. I say good for the NFL. Again, he had to know that it was going to be a ruse and nothing was going to happen. Good for the NFL. At least they're going to donate the money to a good cause. At least they're going to have somebody real come on there and be a part of it. But everybody had to know going into this thing, like a wrestling gimmick, that there was nothing good that was going to come out of all of this at the end of the day. And that's what's bugging Chuckery. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. If you want to be a part of the show, leave us a comment there. Barstool. God bless, man, that they're making that kind of money, man, that they can just whiz away $250,000 on some gimmick promotion. Jarvis, we got to figure out a hot takey way or something. We gotta figure out something more hot takey than what we're doing, because man, hot takey sells. I mean, we're playing, you know, cancer and famine and destruction and natural disasters and everything. Meanwhile, he's got $250,000 to throw away on a gimmick. We know it's complete hot takiness. Wow. God bless. All right, when we get back from the top of the hour, we'll be time for a Falcons flyover, all your nightly news about the birds. We'll talk about that next. It is the John Chuckery Show, coming to you live here on a Monday evening, Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.